Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I hope all of us can say that and mean that. I invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 119. We're going to be looking at that this morning. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. And I put one of the sheets over on the table for you to make some notes on it. There is a whole lot of information. This is going to be, we had a lot of information in the class. This is going to be a lot of information in this lesson. The sermon this evening will not have so much information. It'll be, I hope, worth your time, but to balance this, all this information. I want to go through the whole chapter. And in order to do that, we're going to have to do it rather quickly. But again, take one of those sheets and make notes on it, because this is a psalm that is so important. It is important, as we were talking about in class on Wednesday evening, that it will benefit us. It will help us so much in our Christian life when we understand the benefits that we get from this psalm. This psalm was written to be memorized. And you might think that's a lot to memorize, but it is written in such a way, we have little, I wouldn't call them tricks, but techniques today to help us learn things. I'm sure all of us have seen something similar to this. A is for apple, it's red and it's green. B is for ball, it bounces between. C is for cat, it's licking its paws. D is for dog, it loves playing with balls. And it goes right on down through the whole alphabet. This little song to help someone memorize something. Well, with this psalm, there are 22 different sections. 22 paragraphs, 22 stanzas, and each one of those corresponds to the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. If you look in your Bible, the first one starts with Aleph, then Beth, Gimel, Daleth, right on down through the Hebrew alphabet. It also, and it goes throughout 176 lines of the psalm. So, 22 letters, 22 stanzas, 8 lines in each stanza, and every one of the lines in each stanza begins with the appropriate Hebrew letter marking that stanza. So this was a tool that they could use to memorize this. And again, remember, they didn't have, everybody didn't have a Bible like we have today, but it was so important that they learned these things, and it's important that we learn them also. One of the things we need to notice in this is that every verse contains a reference to the Word of God. That is something that is very unique to this psalm. Different synonyms for the Word of God: law, word, saying, commandment, statute, ordinance, precept, testimony, way, path, truth. We're going to see this throughout. And again, make notes on your page, the verses or something that will help you to remember this. Something that I've done in my Bible is just go through and like highlight the key passage in there and then write the benefit in there. We won't have time to read them all. I will read some certain sections, but let's get started and you'll get a feel for this. So stanza one, to summarize that, happy are those who perfectly obey the law. So blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. So just notice the words referring back to God's law. In verse 1, the law. Verse 2, the testimony. Verse 3, ways. Verse 4, precepts. Verse 5, statutes. Verse 6, commandments. Over and over, repeating God's word. Verse 7, your righteous judgment. Verse 8, your statutes. And with God's word, back to what this is all about, God's word has, there are benefits that we gain from God's word. Benefits from this section, this stanza, we see that it establishes my ways. And it's not going to establish my ways unless I spend time in God's word. A lot of people say, I have a Bible, I read my Bible, that's good. What benefit do you get from it? Now, in my shed at home, in our shed, I have some bags of fertilizer. I bought them last fall to use this spring, but I've got a lot of bags of fertilizer. Do you think I bought those bags of fertilizer just because I like buying bags of fertilizer? No. Why did I buy them? I bought the bags of fertilizer for the benefits that I would get from that fertilizer. You take fertilizer, depending on the fertilizer, it'll make the roots grow deeper, it'll make the foliage greener, it'll make the blooms bigger or give you more fruit. That's just a few of the benefits of that fertilizer. So I didn't buy that fertilizer just to buy some fertilizer. I bought it for the benefits. And we should learn not to read through the Bible just to read through the Bible. We need to learn to read the Bible for the benefits that we get from it. And when we understand those benefits will change our life. It'll make our life so much easier here, and it'll prepare us for the world to come. So in this first stanza, we see that it establishes my ways. And with that, that's the basis to everything. If you don't have a strong foundation when you start, you aren't going to go very far. The second stanza, verses 9 through 16, to summarize, he observes it with his heart, lip, and way. He rejoices in it. This is showing a consistent pattern with his heart, with his voice, with his mouth, the way he lives it. Again, it's not just, we would say today, it's not just ink on paper. It's something in our life. It's something that gives us our passion in our life. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. You see, when we hide God's word in our heart, it'll purify our life. The opposite of that, if we do not have God's word in our heart, our life is going to be full of sin. Stanza 3, God's law is counselor against plotting princes. In verses 17 through 24, look at verse 24. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. When you want advice, when you want counsel, where do you go? It makes a difference where you go. You might know somebody that's an expert on this or that. Who is going to know better what we need to do than God? And again, the only way that we are going to get that is to go to his word. And you see so many religious people today, they will go everywhere else except to God's word. Well, the fourth one, verses 25 through 32, this is a prayer for strengthening and for deliverance from humiliation. In verse 28, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Did you ever feel like that? Like your heart your soul is just so heavy, like you're going to explode. My soul melts from heaviness. The heaviness of the world, the heaviness of relationships, the heaviness of those unplanned for things. My soul melts from your heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. Our life is filled with so much that we don't need in there. And God's word will remove everything false in me, everything that is not true. Then we get down to what God wants us to be so that we can start enjoying life. And it's interesting, too, in this section from 25, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Revive me. King James, I believe, says quicken. And when you look at that word quicken in this psalm, it's used over and over and over. Verse 25, quicken thou me according to thy word. Verse 37, quicken thou me in thy way. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Quicken me in thy loving kindness. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Quicken me according to thy judgment. Quicken me according to thy word. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Do you want to feel alive? Do you want to be made alive? It comes from the word. It comes from the word, and it's not like that bag of fertilizer that's sitting out in my shed. It's not going to do any good till I open it up and use it. There's so much power in God's word, it's not going to do any good till we open it up and make application. We make application. Well, moving on to stanza 5, verses 33 through 40. This is a prayer that God will teach him the law, that he will turn the psalmist to it, away from covetousness. And what is covetousness? It's wanting everything for me. It's all about me. It's all about me. But God, he's praying that God will turn him from it's all about me to it's all about God. That's a lesson we all need to learn. In verse 37, turn away my eyes from looking at your worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. When we spend time in God's word, it's going to produce a reverence for God. We live in a very irreverent society. People take God's name in vain about every other sentence. So many people out in the world, they do all kinds of things that are against God. Why do they do that? They have no reverence for God. How do we learn reverence for God? From His Word. Stanza 6, verses 41 through 48, we see a promise to trust in the law and a vow to serve it with delight and love. In verse 45, I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. When we look at God's word and we learned it, it increases our courage. I will speak of your testimonies before kings and will not be ashamed. We can think of all kinds of characters from the Bible that did that. You think about Paul and the ruling Roman Empire, the ruler of the world, and the people, the powers that he stood before. And in Romans 1, what did he say? I am not ashamed of the gospel. Friends, we need to have God's word in us where it increases our courage. We are not ashamed of it. I have to ask myself, do I love God's law? Is it my meditation all the day? Or am I thinking about everything else all the day and don't have time for God? Do I desire God's word more than gold? You know, this is something that's repeated throughout the book of Psalms, is how God's word is to be desired more than gold. It's worth more than gold. And you see people of the world consumed about getting gold. And I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with that. If you have some gold, so be it. But you see people's efforts that they put in to getting gold. Gold, the gold of the world. God's word. Which is more valuable? Do I desire God's word more than gold? Because what's going to happen to this gold? When this earth is burned up, it's going to burn up. What's going to happen to God's word? When this world is burned up, His word is going to stand forever. Stanza 7, verses 49 through 56. Proud seducers torment lawkeepers, but cannot deprive them of comfort and joy in doing so. You turn on the news, you'll see this every day. People say something pro-God, and automatically they get jumped on, trying to discredit them, trying to harm them, trying to ruin their life. That will happen to us. Jesus said, you know, don't be surprised if the world hates you. It hated me first. But we can take comfort and joy in knowing that we are suffering for righteousness' sake. A benefit of God's word, it comforts me in afflictions. Stanza 8, despite the encroachment of wickedness, the psalmist maintains fellowship with law observers. It guards me from panic. Verse 60, I made haste and did not delay to keep thy commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. When we wake up at midnight, we need to read our Bible, we need to pray to God, and He will guard us from panic. Stanza 9, afflictions from proud enemies cannot deny God's goodness, nor that He is the doer of good. No matter how we are persecuted or how people come after us, it doesn't change a thing about God. And we see in God's word that it teaches me discernment and knowledge to know those things that are going to be eternal. Stanza 10, it makes me resourceful. This is a prayer to the Creator that He may visit the proud, not His servants with shame. This is in verses 73 through 80. Verse 79, let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies. If you want an answer, you're going to go to somebody that's resourceful. People of the world, speaking generally, they have a money problem, they have a family problem, they have a relationship problem. Are they going to want to go to somebody in the world to solve that? Or if you're a Christian and you have your life in order, are they going to want to come to you? They're going to want to come to you because they aren't going to ask somebody advice on their family if they've been divorced 5 times. If they've lost this or that or done this, they want... The God's Word makes us resourceful. We are a wealth of help to people in the world that's looking for it. Stanza 11, it cultivates patience. Some of these, again, I'm going to speed this up and go on through since you have the sheet, but mark down the passages or you'll be able to figure out when you go through it on your own. But I strongly suggest go over this once a month or over and over. It's a long psalm. If you have it on a recording, I have the Bible on an MP3 where I could pick any chapter to listen to it. This one, if I listen to it, it's like 15 minutes long. You can get it on some device and listen to it over and over. Each time you're going to learn something new. Stanza 12. We see the benefit of it keeps me spiritually recharged. Spiritually recharged. Do I love God's law? Or do we just give it lip service? Do I meditate on it all day? Or am I thinking of everything else? Do I desire God's word more? Or do I desire the things of the world more? 13th benefit, the psalmist loves the law which imparts wisdom, and he hates every evil way. God's law will accelerate our understanding. There are so many things in this world, it's like somebody made the statement, there are a lot of landmines in life that you want to avoid, and you don't want to step on them to learn where they are. And the Bible tells us where a lot of those landmines are going to be. And it accelerates our understanding. And it's interesting, the things that the Bible said that was written thousands of years ago, that science is just coming around now and recognizing. They're just recognizing some of these things today. But you can read about it in the Bible that was written thousands of years ago. Stanza 14. David rejoices in God's law as his inheritance, as a lamp exposing the snares of the wicked. God's word will create a joyful heart. Stanza 15. It sustains me when I feel helpless. 16. It enables me to honor right and to hate wrong. And again, if we don't have a standard, anything goes. And that's what's going on now, and we have chaos. Stanza 17. Causes me to walk in the truth. And again, a lot of people don't like that because they don't want truth to be absolute, but it is. Benefit 18, stanza 18, surrounds me with delight in spite of difficulties. You know, I've seen this in some older Christians, and I wish I could develop this faster. You know, you see some people, it's like the whole world is falling down around them. But they still have their joy. They still delight in God in spite of what's going on around. And again, that should be one of those things, that anchor that holds us. We are happy. We have that joy. Not because of what's going on in the world, but because our sins are forgiven, and whatever's going on in the world, it doesn't matter. If we were to die today or tomorrow, it doesn't matter if we are right with God. And that should give us great delight in spite of difficulties. So how much do I love God's law? Do I just give it lip service? 19. Develops the discipline of prayer. That's one thing that I have gained a lot from our monthly prayer services that we have been doing for a couple of years now, and studying to give talks for those services, and then just looking at the prayers, especially of like Paul and Peter, and how they prayed. David has many beautiful prayers that he wrote. But how are we going to learn that if we don't spend time in God's Word? 20, it rescues me when I am defenseless. You know, there are going to be things out of our control. The only thing that is going to be able to save us is God. 21, the psalmist praises God's law and hopes for salvation despite persecution by princes. So it fills me with praise without and peace within. And again, that's what people are searching for everywhere, that peace within. And when we have that peace within, that praise is going to come forth just like a fountain bubbling up. We aren't going to be able to keep that inside of us. But if we don't have peace inside of us, if we have pain and discomfort and chaos, we aren't going to get that praise coming out of us. And the last one, in stanza 22, acknowledging sin, David prays for salvation, vowing to continue prayers with lip, tongue, and soul. And again, everything is consistent. His words, his thoughts, his actions, the way he lives, fills me with praise without and peace within. So we see he respects in this last section, in verses 161 through 168. Let me turn back there. Verses 161 to 168. Not this last section, but right here. Look at what he says about God's word in this section. He respects it. He rejoices at it. Verse 162. He hates falsehood. 163. He loves God's law. He hoped for salvation. He has done God's commandments. He has observed God's testimonies. He loves them exceedingly. He has observed the precepts. He has observed the testimonies. All his ways are before the Lord. You look at that. That is so poetic and so deep. And then what do we say? Yeah, I read that chapter today. I read for 5 minutes this week. I read a verse a day. Friends, that's good, but that ain't going to change your life. That ain't going to change your life. You got to get into God's word. Do I love his law? Is it my meditation all the day? Do I desire God's word more than the things of the world? Let my lips utter praise. Let my tongue sing. My soul shall praise thee. This is the psalmist's pledge to continue with all his heart to seek the Lord's help in his prayers. Again, with his thoughts, his words, and his life. And there's no more noble resolution could have been found to close this magnificent psalm. Friends, there's a lot of information here. Again, please take it. Study it, go over it and over it again, refer back to it, and it'll do you good. There are benefits here that you will never have even thought of. This is one of the ways that we transform our life, but it's just like that bag of fertilizer. It's not going to do me any good while it's still closed up, sitting in my shed. We got to get it out, open it up, study it, read it, apply it, and then just like that plant, our roots are going to be deeper, our foliage is going to be brighter, our blooms are going to be bigger, we're going to bear more fruit. It all starts right here. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the heavenly invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing. Have you been to Jesus?